Well, welcome to another episode of PNC C-Speak, the language of executives. I am excited about every conversation, but especially this one today. Also, my friend Michael Scully, regional president of PNC, is here. But our guest today, Michael, I know you're excited as well, is Kevin Short, managing partner and CEO of Clayton Capital Partners. I just want to read a little bit, Michael, about Kevin, because his bio is it's 9 pages. I'm just kidding, but it is long. Clayton Capital Partners is a St. Louis-based investment banking firm, and what they specialize in is merger and acquisition advisement. He's also the author of the award-winning book, Sell Your Business for an Outrageous Price. That's the kind of book that you pick up, because that is an excellent title. The book has gotten 11 awards, by the way. He is a frequent speaker on a variety of topics, especially to business owners, advisors, and to academics as well. He is a Focus St. Louis What's Right with the Region Award winner. Kevin, welcome to C-Speak.
Thanks, Carol. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Well, let's jump right in, because you know we're still in the pandemic. And in the age of coronavirus, Kevin, talk to us about deal making. What is the state of mergers and acquisitions during the pandemic?
It's very different than what I thought it was going to be March 13th, 2020. I really thought March 13th that we as a company, our firm, was going to experience the same thing we experienced in 2008, where everything went dead. So we called our people together, talked about it, and said, let's go as far as we can go. We're still going. It turns out we were completely wrong about what was going to happen. So buyers are extremely plentiful today. So there is an abundance for every deal we take out to market. So we represent at any one time 15 sellers of companies around North America. And then when we take them out to market, we'll have 100 to 150 buyers show up and want to see it. That's been going on since day one of the pandemic. That the buyer activity has not slowed down at all. What has slowed down is closing deals. So we get lots of buyers, lots of offers. We end up accepting an offer, and then it goes into due diligence. And because the buyers can't travel to the seller, due diligence goes slower. Buyers are a lot more intentional because they can't see the seller eye to eye. So they're a lot more careful. So that's been the number one difference we've seen in COVID. There are less sellers on the market today. So if you're a good seller with a good company, this is a great time because you don't have as much competition as you've had, because a lot of the sellers, because of the pandemic, can't sell. So that's another effect of pandemic. It has affected many folks' businesses.
Michael, this is all right up your alley. What do you have?
It is. It's interesting, Kevin. You mentioned March. Our world's all changed. But one thing in the banking business, funding was really a question. You know, what's going to happen to the banking markets when the pandemic hit in March? It turns out, again, like this really hasn't been an issue. And I'm curious from your end whether funding has been affected in the M&A business.
The answer is yes. Just to give you some context, our deal size is roughly $10 to $200 million deal size. So we're not doing the big multi-billion dollar deals, for context. So there is, as you know, Michael, there is an abundance of cash available to lend, and mezzanine financing is plentiful, and equity is plentiful. But the banks are being very careful, trying to assess the impact of COVID on the business that they're going to finance. So they want to measure the impact of COVID. They want, but to date, that's pretty easy to measure. But they also want to make sure there isn't a rebound effect. Many of the bankers are worried that even though we're okay today, what's coming? Is there a delayed effect from the pandemic that will affect the business?
Kevin, I want to ask you about the good and the bad and the ugly, the risk and the benefits of mergers and acquisitions. But to go back to something you mentioned, that buyers are plentiful. Are buyers plentiful because the value of those potential targets is so attractive, or because buyers just, you know, they have some excess cash and they want to buy.
Well, that's a great clarification, Carol, because I should qualify that by saying the private equity buyer. We track about 4,500 private equity groups in the U.S. alone. They don't want to come out of pandemic without making acquisitions. They don't want to have this year be wasted. They're sitting on a tremendous amount of cash, so they want to get it placed and invested as prudently as possible. So that's who I'm talking about that's out there looking like crazy. The other group are strategics. And strategics, if they're in a good sector and they want to expand because of COVID, great. Or if they have the resources to buy companies that have been hurt by COVID, they will do that. The common comment by buyers is that the sellers aren't adjusting their prices because of COVID effect. They still want the same dollar they wanted March 1 of 2020. And the buyers often are not willing to pay that. So that causes a strain on the deal-making process.
So, Kevin, talk a minute about due diligence in a pandemic. So you mentioned that the time to close has been extended, and that's because of the diligence period. So what exactly has changed, and how has that been mitigated?
Well, I'll give you an example. We closed a deal in Salt Lake City back in September, and the private equity group was from Vancouver. And so what I've learned in the last year, it's very difficult to travel back and forth to Canada because of the pandemic. I believe this is correct, but Canada is much more strident in their rules about pandemic. So if you're going to come down here and visit a company in the U.S., when you go back, you've got to be quarantined, and it's pretty serious quarantine, for 14 days. Well, it really gets in your way of conducting business in your life. So they're very reticent to make that trip. And that's been a big part of it. Now, expand upon that. Now you've got your accounting firm and your legal firm and all that. We do most of everything anyway. Before pandemic, we did it electronically, the due diligence. But if there's any need for an on-site audit or anything like that, it really slows everything down.
Let's talk about risks and benefits. One risk I would imagine, as you mentioned, Kevin, is targeting the wrong sector. But I know that is why you're there. Restructuring is always something that occurs, we think occurs. And then staff retention is also an issue. Staff gets a little antsy when they hear that they have been acquired. So talk about the risks and benefits at this time.
Well, you're addressing several different parties there. There's risks and benefits to the ownership group. There's risk and benefits to the employees. I would say it depends on the deal. It depends on your job description. If you're in sales, for example, for a company, you've probably got a lifetime job as long as you perform. No buyer gets rid of the sales people because that's the lifeblood of the business. They might get rid of back office, accounting and HR, those kinds of things, and absorb that into a bigger entity. But for the seller, the risks are entering into a very expensive process and then not closing the deal. We just had one where it didn't close, and the seller spent $500,000 on due diligence, and the buyer spent about $750,000, and they don't have a deal because COVID kind of snuck up on the company and hurt it. So you got to be aware of all that. That's a pretty important issue. But if you go into it right, with your eyes wide open, we will tell the buyer what's going on, and we'll try to get them to make their offer quickly and get them through due diligence as quickly as possible. There's a term in our business that says if a deal isn't going to close, you want to blow it up as fast as possible so you can get back out to market and find a better buyer.
So, Kevin, it seems from a banking perspective, when we see a client sell their business, it's either opportunistic, like from the standpoint of strategic buyers that have to have that, but usually it has some aspect of succession planning. So what do you see out there in terms of why does somebody sell a business if you look at the many you work on each year?
Yeah, Mike, I would say probably 25% of them are opportunistic. We get a phone call and it says XYZ Behemoth has approached us. Would you represent us and close this deal? The balance are more like you're talking about. It's time to pass the baton. The ownership is tired, burned out. Burnout's our number one catalyst. And with prices being as high as they are today, people don't think about selling to their kids like they used to. They almost can't afford to. They're going to get often twice as much selling on the open market as they would if they sold to their kids. And most of these owners will say, you know what, I'm better off selling and giving my kids the cash eventually. So you'll see a lot of that.
Well, speaking of due diligence, I did mine and I was all over your website stalking you a little bit, Kevin. But what I saw on your website is that you feature deals that you have closed. And I can't help but imagine you learn something from every single one of them. Can you share with us maybe one of your last couple of deals, what you did learn going through them, the ones that closed?
Yeah, it's one of the great things about my job is I get to learn new businesses and new companies and people all the time. So, you know, you become an expert at the company we closed in September. They were in the materials testing business. They tested the materials that go into runways at airports. Well, I didn't know anything about that, but I sure learned a lot. So you always do that. So December 31, we closed a deal in Philadelphia, which is a little bit counterintuitive. This company's in the HVAC business, so heating and cooling. But they did it for new construction, and they did it for a very large region up in the Northeast. And it was, for an HVAC company, it was a very large deal. But a guy had started it, knew how to run the systems, and did a great job doing that. So those are good examples. We recently did a company, this is interesting, they support data centers. Data centers that support the internet, and so that's always fun to see.
Kevin, I'm always proud of my hometown, St. Louis, and I like to see how we stack up with other communities. So, how does St. Louis stack up with respect to M&A activity?
You know, we keep track of it, even though we don't do. We'll do a handful of deals here every year. When we started the business 20 years ago, we wanted to be number one in St. Louis. And that took about 30 minutes, unfortunately. And now we work to be in the top 10 in the country. And the point of that story is there isn't a lot of M&A. Michael, as you know, because a lot of your customers are the private equity folks in St. Louis, and that has grown dramatically in the last 20 years. But we're still in the 10 to 15 range. You know, Chicago's got to have 300 or 400 for context. So I don't know that we have an image. We are often given a lot of talks about how St. Louis has been pretty acquisitive. But I worry, you know, because the number of our Fortune 500 companies that have sold and moved away, I mean, the way to fight that is to get the community wound up about acquisitions and so they can beef it up. And, you know, the Centenes of the world and Emersons and those kinds of people that are out there being acquisitive, and that just causes bigger job opportunities here in St. Louis. So we're all for that. We're all for St. Louis pushing for growth.
Kevin, it's been an honor to chat with you today. Can you quickly tell us where we can find this award-winning book of yours, Sell Your Business for an Outrageous Price?
Well, like everybody else, you can find it at Amazon. You can reach out to us at claytoncapitalpartners.com, and we'll get it to you. But thank you, Carol. We appreciate talking with you and hope to see you soon.
That is Kevin Short, Managing Partner and CEO of Clayton Capital Partners, and my friend Michael Stulley, Regional President of PNC, with us on PNC C-Speak, the language of executives.